You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to Thursday, Boomer's least favorite day.
Boomer's least favorite day is Thursday, but it makes it better because I'm here and Boomer and McQueen is
today. That's right. We all live to serve the McQueen.
That is right.
Yes, we got a great show for you. Boomer's obviously on the board. Today is Thursday, which we prefer to think of as Friday Eve around here. Got a great show laid on. 3:30 today. You heard it a moment ago. Boomer and McQueen at 3:30. That's my favorite time of the week. I mean, we're just sitting here and just sling out some questions and sort of spitball our thoughts on things, but they do a great job, and they are part of what makes this show work, and I love the fact that they don't just know how to push buttons and sign papers. They also know, by the way, how to call balls and strikes on culture. So we'll talk with Boomer McQueen, 3:30. And then at 4 p.m., State Auditor Andrew Sorrell, former member of the State House, one of the most conservative members of state government here in Alabama. He's going to be on to talk about what's happening with the anti-ESG bill going through the Alabama State Legislature. It got out of committee yesterday. We'll talk to him about where it goes from here and what he thinks is going to happen. But yeah, State Auditor Andrew Sorrell coming on at 4 p.m. today. And then there's the whole triple dipper, so hit it. We can hit it whenever you're ready. Did our sound effect go away? There it is.
The Triple Dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right. The Triple Dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, you got to know as we run today's show. Number one, it's that day. Border chaos. That's what I'm just calling it. It's what it is. In fact, you know what's interesting? President Biden finally used the word. He actually said the border is chaos, and he knows it. I think he's known it for a long time. Well, that's assuming he knows anything, but the reality is his administration's known it, and they are acting like they're caught off guard and trying to make sure that all's well here, nothing to see here. It's like Baghdad Bob. But nonetheless, right now, the border is chaos, and it's expected to get worse after tonight. So we'll talk about it. Number one, the Triple Dipper, border chaos. And then number two, got a little updates on various things that are military-minded. So yeah, military-minded is number two, to include what's the latest thing being said about Space Command. And oh, by the way, why is Mitch McConnell suddenly not on board with Tommy Tuberville? We'll talk about it. It has to do with the military. So number two on the Triple Dipper, military-minded. And then number three, going to have to do it once in a while, just going to have to cook up a batch of home fries. So we'll be having some home fries come up, number three on the Triple Dipper. And when we do, we'll also have State Senator, or State Auditor Andrew Sorrell calling into the show, talking about some matters going on in Montgomery. So yeah, home fries, number three on the Triple Dipper. And we will have the sound effect for it too. Well, I assume, is the sound effect button board not working right now or what? Okay. Boomer basically gave me the don't bother me, I'm working on it thing right now. All right. You get it fixed, Boomer, while I'll do my comments. So let me jump over here to my comments. And, you know, in honor of number one of the Triple Dipper, border chaos, let me do this. I want to take a minute and I want to paint a mental picture for you. All right. I want you to try and imagine exactly what I'm talking about. Picture how you would feel if you were in the scenario that I'm about to go through. So let's say you worked hard, saved up, did all you could to establish good credit, and after many years, you build your dream home. It's a beautiful house on a little patch of land. You're surrounded by other beautiful homes. The water's nearby. You have a big deck that looks out over your property. You come home from work in the evenings, and you'd enjoy just sitting and watching the sun go down. You have guests that stay there with you occasionally. Friends come over to grill on the deck. You're proud to share what you have with those who you invite in. You realize that you've been given so much, so you and your family, you occasionally host missionaries as they travel through town, and you hold events at your home for other people's celebrations. You are generous with what you have because you remember where you came from. Every aspect of that home is your home. Every detail is something you planned for, worked for, helped to design. You even contributed somewhat to the construction process. This is your castle, and you feel safe there, and you are comfortable, and you feel blessed by it. But then imagine that one day you come home from work and you notice that the lights are already on inside and the back door is standing open and you can see movement inside. Something's not right here. So cautiously you walk in the door and there's strangers sitting on your couch watching your TV, got their feet propped up on your coffee table. Somebody you don't know is in your kitchen standing in front of your open refrigerator eating your food and just fixing themselves a meal from your pantry. Who are these people? And they all stare at you as if they know that you're there, but none of them looks the least bit awkward. It's as if they're somehow entitled just to use your house like it's their own. And then you hear a noise upstairs, and you realize you can hear that someone is in your bathroom running the shower. And then a young man you've never seen before comes down the stairs wearing your favorite shirt. And you look at them all just for a second more, and you shout out, "Who are you people? What are you doing in my house?" But you quickly realize that most of them don't speak your language until one of them finally says in broken English, "We came from somewhere else. We'll just be here a little while." And then he stares at you like that should say it all. And then you hear a noise, and you look out your kitchen window, and you see tents being set up in your backyard. And your hose is being used to water somebody else's dog. And your flower beds are being trampled. And folks are picking the tomatoes you have growing in your garden. Your backyard. The yard you worked for years to be able to buy, that you have tended meticulously, is now being destroyed by like over 100 folks you've never seen before. What in God's name is happening? Now, not to belabor the storyline too much, right? But let the feelings of how that would feel about your own house, let that descriptive story just sink in. How would you feel? What would you do? Let's say you don't have any ill will in that story, but it's your house. And now you feel abused and unsafe, so you call the police. But the police tell you they're already overwhelmed. They have similar calls in other places. You're just going to have to entertain your new guests as best you can. Guests? Guests is a word you use when the people were invited. These folks just showed up on their own, at your house, eating your food, in your bathroom, on your couch, in your yard. And as you hear the sound of a dish breaking in your kitchen, and somebody else's kids running through your house, and strangers arguing over your TV remote, you realize that you no longer feel peaceful in your own home. And you question whether life's ever going to be the same. Now, I know that seems like a strange and somewhat surreal storyline. It's kind of like one of those weird dreams where everything makes sense during the dream, but when you wake up, you realize how disjointed it really was. What would you do if your house just became a way station for anyone who wanted to set up there? Well, folks, listen. What I just described to you is like a micro version of life at our southern border right now. In the storyline that I just wove together for you about a house, we'll ramp it up to another level. What if the house actually represents a whole community? Or for that matter, a whole state? Or even more so, what if the house in my story was an analogy for our country? And that open back door where people kept coming into the house, well, that's the southern border. And the use of our home and the wearing of our clothes and the eating of our food, that's the micro version of what's happening to the resources in America right now as mass migration takes on a new and dangerous level. Dangerous level, I mean. Dangerous. Just in the last 2 days, the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol has apprehended over 20,000 illegals crossing into the U.S., which, by the way, is a new all-time record in the last 2 days. The CBP's latest stats show that in the month of February alone, 10,870 unaccompanied minors were encountered at the southern border. That's amazing. The city of El Paso, it recently reported that it has spent over $20 million just in general aid, representing a 347% increase in spending for that one city. Drug interdictions, they're up by 6%, but heroin alone is up by 99%. And today, this very day, today, May 11th, Title 42, the law that allowed the apprehension and immediate expulsion of so many. Title 42 that allowed the immediate expulsion of over 85,000 illegal immigrants in February of this year alone. Well, that law expires, and the anticipation is that every statistic that I just named is only going to get worse. If they were able to expel 85,000 in February alone, but now they can't, just picture it. The bottom line, thinking back to the analogy that I gave you earlier about a house, well, our national house is in disarray. But let me remind you about another part of the story that I just told. Remember the part earlier in the story when I talked about you found the house and you were proud of it? It was a generous homeowner. It was one who shared his home with others and fed others as his guests and opened his doors to those who he could serve. That's another micro-analogy of the United States. On the world stage, we have built our home, but yet we have never been exclusive of others. This is the most generous and giving country on the earth, perhaps in the history of the earth. We provide aid. We host others. We bring them into our hospitality. And we have always done so willingly because that's a part of who we are. It's something to be proud of. We are proud of our house. But currently, our generosity is being abused. And in the story I just told you, the homeowner's generosity, it was not able to be extended to others anymore because it was being abused by those who had consumed it. Well, this is our house. We must protect our house. We must restore order so that we can continue to be a blessing to others, because once it's abused to the point that it's trampled down, there's nothing left to share. And so also that we can know the peace that comes from working to build a place that can actually provide, but not a place that can be stolen. We got to protect this house. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, I'm serious. I mean, when you boil it down, I mean, I often think of things like this. At the lowest level, take that crisis and picture what it would mean to me if that was my house. Well, the entire state of Texas and Arizona and even parts of California, they're being decimated right now. I've got one report where somebody locally in El Paso said, "This is what we saw in the movie We Were Soldiers when they were being overrun," and they had to get on the radio and call out Broken Arrow. That's where we are. All right, folks, more on that to come. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. A little Guns N' Roses bump there from the boomer. What? That's an 80s tune, right? 80s, I think. Yeah, Guns N' Roses, Sweet Child of Mine.
I believe so, yeah.
I think that's off their same album, yeah. So, yeah, I think it would have to be. So my brother just sent me a text. I got to read you this text. Love this. Hang on a second. Where'd it go? Oh, shoot. Okay, he says... He says 60s music is good, 70s music was great, but proof positive that the 80s music is the best is my 21-year-old daughter has Journey up on her bedroom wall, and my son is belting out In the Air Tonight in the shower right now. 80s transcends.
I love it.
Yeah, that's good stuff. I told him, I texted back, I said perfection.
Job well done.
Raise them up in the way they should go. That's when right. They get old, they will not depart from it. That's right. To include classic rock. I'll tell you, though, both my kids love classic rock. And I'm sure part of that was, you know, I hope there's other things that I instilled in them along the way. They've turned out pretty well. But we'd drive down the road, and like I can remember multiple times my son would be like 10 years old and something would come on like Van Halen. I go, quick, who sings it? Van Halen, Dad. Like, next song comes on. Quick, who sings it? Dad, that's Journey. Next song comes on. Quick, who sings it? Dad, Ted Nugent. You know, it's like he knew
he
just
knew
like
it,
that. Yeah,
right away.
Yeah. Text lines are already open. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. If you text in for the very first time, by the way, text in the word right side to that number, 833-68-RIGHT. Text the word right side, and you'll get a little message back that says something like, "Hey, you right side ruffian, glad you're with us," or whatever, and it'll ask you for your first name and where you're from. So you just tell us, like, you know, John from Huntsville, and bam, we'll put it in the system. We'll put you in there gosh, we got, how long till we hit 1,000, do you think? I mean, at the rate we're going, I bet we're a month away from having 1,000 people in that text string. Month and a half.
Yeah, for sure mid-summer.
I mean, we're in the high hundreds right now.
Yes.
Is that
there's a lot.
Is that a number? High hundreds.
Now it is.
Okay. That may have to go in the
hundreds.
That may have to go in the right side glossary. I don't know. What does that define as? A lot.
A whole lot.
A lot. Text lines have already got some people in it. Leanne from Huntsville says, in anticipation of the discussion, I know we're not a border state, we're not near Texas, but do you think North Alabama is a destination for these illegals? Or have an opinion how long it will take? Well, do what?
I said everywhere is.
I think everywhere's a border state right now.
I think it is. I think it's not, they're not just going to stay there forever. They're just going to go poof.
Yeah.
They're going everywhere.
And they're already here.
Yeah.
It's not like they're coming to Alabama. They're already in Alabama. We know they are. Yeah. I mean, I think you're spot on, mm-hmm. Boom. But the, and she wants to know, maybe they want to tour the Space Center. Okay. Tourism, illegal tourism. That's wonderful. John from Huntsville says, there's nothing to worry about. Didn't you hear the border's not open? LOL. What border? He says. Brian from Huntsville says, invaders in my house, armed IRS agents. That's a whole different story. Brian. James from Harvest says, we got to make the Border Patrol our scattergun. I'm not sure what he means by that, but okay. And then he says, every day I think to myself, there's no way you can outdo yourself on this, and you continue to prove me wrong. Oh, thank you. I think he's talking about my stuff. Okay. He says, every day you and Boomer do this, you guys get better, and dang, you guys are already awesome. Man, James.
Wow, I like it.
James from Harvest, you can text in anytime you want to, bro. Shane Daddy from Gadsden. He says, home run, bro. Your monologues are great. Thank you, my brother. I appreciate that. JT from Lacey Springs says, well, thanks. My blood pressure just spiked 20 points. The end of Title 42 is similar to kicking a fire ant hill, such an explosion that cannot be contained or thwarted. I know, man. It's something. Raven from Russellville says, maybe we can get some folks with certain skill sets together and organize a coyote hunt. No closed season, no bag limit. Okay. All right. Calm down, Raven. We don't need to go down roads we don't need to be on. But no, I think what he's talking about is the coyotes themselves are the ones who are illegally trafficking even children across the border. And then Allison from Madison says, what we have is jackassery and a cacistocracy. Turn it up and do a little louder this time, Boomer. There it is. Jackassery and a cacistocracy run by a pathological liar just bracing for the here, hold my beer, watch this move.
Here, hold my beer, watch this.
She nailed it. Jackassery in a cacistocracy. That's like,
wow.
Man, that's like half the right side glossary is getting thrown into one text. Scott from Huntsville, these illegals will be bused to the polls, more Democrat votes. I don't know, man. We'll see. I mean, not in Alabama, they won't. A bunch of states enacted, you know, voter ID requirements. And so you got to have a picture ID in Alabama and Georgia and Florida and all these major states. Now, will they try to do something in California or some other place? Shh. Well, it is California, but I think they're going to be less likely to get away with some of that we talked about. And these folks are going to have to want to become citizens, and they're going to have to want to show themselves in such a way that they might get called out, and they may not be doing that. All right, more to come. New textures in the line. I see Christy from Killen. Thank you very much. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, and Just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, that would be Alabama. And I'm talking about this show gives its signal way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. All right. Having said that, let me jump into number one of the Triple Dipper. Oh, man. So the border madness, the border chaos that we've got going on right now, and by the way, this is not a word that I would use lightly, but it's interesting. President Biden finally used it himself. Let me just start off. I'll tell you what, let me go down in my stack a little further here. Piece here from Fox News dated today. President Biden may have quietly admitted Wednesday evening that he and the White House have refused to say publicly about the worsening situation at the U.S.-Mexico border. Biden's words, you ready? He said on Tuesday the border situation will be, quote, chaotic for a while. Oh, really? But then, despite all the denials, you know, Mayorkas saying that the border's actually closed, the border's secure, we don't have an issue here. By the way, if there's ever been a Baghdad Bob character, it's either going to be Karine Jean-Pierre or it's going to be Mayorkas. Nothing to see here. All is well. There are no American tanks approaching. It's just, if you haven't seen Baghdad Bob, it's worth going back and looking at him. But nonetheless, Biden followed that up. He spoke. So he said that to the reporters the next day. Out on the tarmac at the county airport where he was flying in to meet with big donors in New York, he said there has been, quote, chaos at the border for a number of years. Chaos at the border for a number of years. He says, well, we've had chaos at the border for a number of years. We have to fully fund the border security effort. What is he talking about? I think it's worth pointing out. The article goes on to say, and very clearly, in the years since the Biden administration has refused to use funding, he got elected in January. He was sworn in January 2021. In the years since, the Biden administration has refused to use funding already allocated to reinforce the border, has sued Arizona to remove shipping containers that filled gaps in the U.S. Border Patrol Yuma sector, has ceased former President Trump's Remain in Mexico policy, and ultimately failed to extend Title 42. The Remain in Mexico policy has since been reinstated. Sort of. I mean, but here's an admission. He says it's been chaos at the border for a number of years. In other words, I am aware it's been bad. Oops, I said it out loud. He even says at one point, look, I asked the Congress for a lot more money for the Border Patrol. They didn't do it. They've made it harder. Does anybody remember the fact that when he got elected, he had both the House and the Senate? They were all Democrat? What is he talking about? He just makes crap up out of thin air. House Republicans, the article says the situation at the border rests solely on Biden as they have put forward the Secure the Border Act, which would renew efforts to build a border wall and add more Border Patrol agents and provide them more financial incentives to do their job. It would also end catch and release, which, by the way, the Biden administration has enacted in a big, big way. I got a call on the line, Boom. Is that Sparky? Sparky from Harvest. Haven't heard from you in a while, brother. How you doing?
I'm very good. Hey, I enjoyed your cue up to this segment and the hypothetical about uninvited people invading your house and your yard and your tomato garden. Remember, the current invasion is invited. The Biden crime family and his handlers invited these people here by the millions. And I want every Democrat listening to the sound of my voice. You wanted this. You voted for these people. And they don't care one bit. They don't care one iota about the safety of these immigrants, about the poor children who are being raped and people who are being murdered in the middle of the night by the drug cartels. They just want power. And they want all these people to be made citizens someday with a wave of their Democrat hand. And they'll all be expected to vote Democrat for life. They don't care about you, and they don't care about your overwhelmed hospitals and school systems with this unbelievable crush of humanity. All they want is power and the money and the perks that go with it.
Wow. Well put, Sparky. That's almost like another monologue, man. That was good stuff. and you're spot on. I guess if I you know, your point is well taken that they are actually invited. I guess if I had them to take an extra piece to my opening monologue, I could make that the analogy is as if the mayor of the small town where your house is located told everybody to come on and they could go to your house, and you had never been a part of that decision making.
Precisely, and if I think the Biden crime family and all his handlers, they're so arrogant in their certain knowledge that they've got top cover from the mainstream media, who will cover for their outrageous lies. Of all the outrageous lies that are told on a daily basis out of the White House, this business that, well, the border's secure, well, it's not secure, but if only the Republicans would play ball with us on legislation, we could secure it. No, they want the Republicans to play ball on legalizing, providing path to legalization for all these invaders. That's all they want. And I don't know, the mainstream media, I wish they would wake up and stop being a part of being the propaganda arm for this criminal party.
Well, I tell you what's going to wind up happening, though, man. And it, as soon as somebody who works for the New York Times gets mugged or raped on the way into their office because of illegals on their streets camping out, it's going to change the dynamic. Someone at CNN is going to wind up being the victim of a crime. It's going to hit one of their homes, and then all of a sudden they're going to go, oh, look at this story. And I hate it, but I think it's going to take something almost earth-shattering that they can't deny any longer to change their false narrative.
Well, and especially when you look at the sheer numbers involved with the staggering number of illegals that are invading all our communities, and the sheer odds that kind of criminal activity is following and is going to follow and is going to affect people who thought it was a wonderful idea to have them all here. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. And it'll be just as tragic as what's happening to these immigrants and their families.
I agree, man. Do we lose him?
Have a good one. Thank you.
All right. See you, Spark. Sparky from Harvest, always a good call. I tell you, it's interesting to watch what's happening too with some states taking unilateral action. I mean, they're a state, and this is leadership. And I'll say this too: a few years ago, 2013, I believe it was, when I was in the state legislature, we passed. It was called the Beeson-Hammond Act. But we were called heretics. I mean, we had protesters. It was like it was one of the most wild moments I saw in 8 years in the Alabama State House. We passed an anti-illegal immigration bill. We were ahead of our time. And we passed this bill. And, of course, the ACLU and the Southern Poverty Law Center and every liberal group in the world immediately challenged it in court. And then it went to, you know, the usual suspects in terms of being the liberal judges on the federal bench who enjoined huge swaths of it. I'm going to be looking into in the next few days how much of that is still left in place, because what we're seeing right now, 10 years after we passed that one in Alabama, we're seeing states do almost identical versions, like Florida. So just yesterday, DailyWire.com, Ron DeSantis signs the strongest anti-illegal immigration bills into law as the Biden border crisis worsens. Now, let me give some credit here. DeSantis signed it. It took his legislature to pass it. So good on them for doing it. But it says here that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, story came out yesterday, has signed the strongest anti-illegal immigration legislation into law on Wednesday as President Joe Biden's crisis on the southern border is set to dramatically worsen this week. It says the Biden border crisis has wreaked havoc across the U.S. and has put Americans in danger, said DeSantis in a statement. In Florida, we will not idly stand by while the federal government abandons its lawful duties. So here's the kind of things that Florida state law, and it's going to go to court. I'm just telling you it will. Why? Because liberals can't stand it when someone will you know, on their own two feet say no. Well, this law, first of all, it requires employers to use E-Verify to check eligibility, and it fines employers who don't. It suspends the licenses of any employer who knowingly employs illegals and makes it a crime, a felony, if they're employed using a fake ID. It enhances penalties for human smuggling. It provides $12 million to continue the unauthorized alien transport program to relocate them to other states. It bans local governments from issuing their own identification documents, and it invalidates out-of-state driver's licenses that were issued exclusively to illegals, like California. It requires hospitals to collect and report health care costs for illegals so they can track the expense they're going through and see how it impacts Medicaid. All this is happening right now. Florida, they just signed that into law, the last couple of days. We did something similar in Alabama just right at 10 years ago, way before we got to the point of a Biden border crisis. I guess technically, though, that was during the years of the Obama-Biden administration, so maybe we could say we were responding to a Biden crisis. But Texas, they're doing their thing too, man. So right now, a story here on CNN. CNN? Yes, indeed, CNN. CNN's got a story. The Biden administration is sending roughly 1,500 active duty troops to the southern border. And by the way, if you're having to send your military to augment your border patrol, then it's a clear indication your border is not secure. You're doing what you can to put your finger in the dike, but the leak is still there. Well, the Texas Army National Guard, they're in high gear. Governor Abbott is not playing. I saw a video this morning, Operation Lone Star. They're showing up in riot gear. They're standing in the way of illegals trying to cross bridges and cross through the river crossings. They're literally pulling concertina wire. That's the round razor wire. They're literally pulling concertina wire across some of the entry points to block illegals from swimming over and just walking up the banks. And they're doing it. Why? Because the federal government is not. Texas, Florida, other states are beginning to take unilateral action. And that's a 10th Amendment right. I think they have not only a sovereign right, they have a sovereign duty to do what is necessary for their states, especially in the absence of a federal government that has pretty much abdicated its role. Now, some will say, Phil, they haven't abdicated their role. The Border Patrol's down there. Yeah, but you know what? The boots are on the ground as best they can be, but the suits are in D.C. making a mess of it. So, all right, we got more on this. We come right back. We're in number one of the Triple Dipper. I'm calling it Border Chaos. And you know what? That's the president's words. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Boomer, 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 boomer. Babylon B. Babylon B has got an epic meme right now. It shows all these piles of U-Haul trucks, and it says, Texas builds 600 miles of border wall using U-Haul trucks from California.
They'd rather build them there than take them back. That's awesome.
That's funny. That is funny. That's because they've got such a mass exodus out of California. You know, U-Haul even says so. U-Haul's report says that the states that have experienced the biggest loss of people correspond to the number of states where they can see one-way exits from the state of U-Haul trucks. Wow. Oh, my gosh. Jeff from Indiana is on the line. So let me grab that real quick. Line one. Jeffro, how you doing? Did we lose him? Jeffro from Indiana, are you there? Hang on a second. He must have got disconnected. He's calling right back in. So while we're getting that together, I'll just tell you right over here on the text line, which you can text into, 833-687-4448. Lou Ann from Huntsville, not Leanne. Lou Ann from Huntsville says, hats off to DeSantis and Abbott. And she wants to know, you know, where's KIV on this? Taking a nap? That's what she says. I don't know. All right, we haven't got him back yet. Jeff Rowe, I know you're out there in traffic. If you get your signal back, just call on in, dude. We'll take your call. Brian from Huntsville, he just says, thank you and thank you again. I love proper nomenclature, concertina wire. That's right. And I've got scars from concertina wire. Yeah. He says, words matter. Yes, they do, sir. Raven from Russellville, U.S. Constitution, Article 1, Section 10, last paragraph, we are in immediate danger. Also, the 10th Amendment. And then Pat from Huntsville just texted in. Says, with 80,000-plus newly trained federal agents, an American president could beef up ICE and just turn them loose in our target-rich America. No doubt. Did you get Jeffro back on?
We'll see.
We'll see. Jeffro from Indiana, how you doing, buddy?
The illegals are coming. The illegals are coming. I think you need to hop into the Gladiator, and you and Boomer can go down the road screaming the illegals are coming.
It's one if by land, two if by sea.
Yeah. I like a three if by everywhere, I think.
Oh, my gosh. I know, man. Oh. Hey, let me ask you something. Speaking of which, you know, in your industry, you're an over-the-road driver. You're on the road almost daily. You know, I hear stories about, you know, like truck stops and other places like that are transient spots. Do you see any changes? Do you notice that in your line of work every day?
Not really. I mean, there's always, you know, several, you know, people passing through and everything, but I don't really, you know, I wouldn't know if they're illegals or what they are. But
you don't see them piling out the back of the trailer, do you?
No, but you can go downtown Nashville and see a bunch of people piled up around the river.
I know that to be true. Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, I'm looking at this and thinking it's amazing to me that we are where we are right now. Like you know, the border has always been problematic, but we had it more and more under control under Trump. And the idea that Trump did it wrong is not shown out by the numbers.
Yeah. Well, actually, you know, you think about it though, Phil, these people ain't piled up on the streets anywhere or anything because the government's giving them shelter and food and phones and medical care and everything else. They're not out here on the street like our street people. They're being taken care of.
Isn't that amazing? In fact, I even saw somebody, a homeless person in another city, I think it was Chicago, was mad and wanted to know why illegals were getting far more than they were in terms of treatment. Hey, Jeff, I got one more caller I got to take before we hit to the break, brother. You be safe on the road, all right?
All right, though. Have a good one,
man. We'll see you, man. Is that Rayson from Hawaii, all the way from Hawaii? Rayson, how you doing, bud?
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Hey,
good morning. Good afternoon, Brother Phil.
Hey, my friend. How are you?
Very good. I have a question. If anybody can answer, anybody in Congress can answer this, about what benefits are being afforded to these illegals in terms of numbers, what are we giving them, you know?
Yeah, I can tell you.
So many of us struggling Americans can't receive from our own government, you know? And but anyway, yeah, I'll take your answer off the air, and I appreciate all that you do. God bless you, brother.
Hey, man, thank you, Rayson. Appreciate that. That's by the way, I think Rayson gets the prize for being the listener who called in from the furthest away. That is literally Rayson from Hawaii calling in. And Rayson, thanks for the Hawaiian shirts. We love those things. And you should have our Right Side Ruffian t-shirt now too, by the way. So his question is, do we have any figures? And I don't have figures. I even searched out some things this morning. Now I can give you the stats on how much is coming across the border. I can tell you that depending upon states, some states offer more than other states do in terms of benefits or relief. And there's no telling what's being done in terms of Medicaid dollars, because at the state level, if someone without insurance shows up at an emergency room, which is happening a lot. I saw one hospital said they had given over $22 million in unreimbursed care. There's no telling what the actual dollar sign toll is on this. But I'll tell you what, though, Rayson, I'm going to look into that, see if I can dig out something a little more quantitative than that. But I do know this. The impact on society, I mean, there are NGOs, non-governmental organizations, that are bringing, you know, charitable dollars to play. There's no telling what's been contributed from the private sector as well as the government. But we are in the billions, in my opinion, easily in the billions, just in the last couple of years. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We got plenty more. We're going to stick with it. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.
listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, here in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Hour number two already. Boom shakalaka. Hour number two.
It flies when we're talking about the border.
It flies. We're talking about jackassery.
That's right. Big jackassery.
There it is. it's complete cacistocracy jackassery going on down the border. David from Huntsville just sent us a meme from the Babylon Bee. Did you see it, Boomer? The one with the border wall signs?
All the signs with the Bud Light?
Yeah. It says border wall, covered with Bud Light signs to deter migrants, because no one wants to be near Bud Light right now.
There it is.
Oh, Lord. JT from Lacey Springs, he says, I woke this day and now identify as a male-born woman of Hispanic Asian descent, surrendering for asylum and lifelong housing and other alien benefits provided by the USA. JT,
wow.
Got it going on.
Wow.
Trina from Elkmont says, when shopping in Athens, I've been seeing a lot more people in the past couple of years with Hispanic backgrounds that don't speak English, doesn't understand when talked to. Well, that may be true, Trina. You know, and by the way, just because you, and I don't mean to her, I'm talking about in general, we have to remember, I mean, seeing someone who's Hispanic does not mean they're here illegally. I mean, that would be the case. I mean, we've got any number of people who have gone through the process, who, you know, may have come over, you know, when Cubans were finally allowed to immigrate, or, you know, who came in the right way. My sister-in-law is a naturalized citizen, not from South America. She's from the Far East, but nonetheless, tons of people still do it the right way. And that's, how hard is that really? I mean, hard, I know it takes time. You know what? But there's a process. And what's so galling to some people is the naturalization process. It is a process and it does take time, but they don't want to take the time. The masses that we're seeing right now, the board, they just want in. I want to get in. I want in. What now? I want it in. I expect to get in now. And they just do. And they show up en masse, just expecting to bypass everybody who's been waiting in line. Meanwhile, we're looking at stories like this one from CNN. CNN is reporting hundreds of U.S. troops are arriving at the border as officials and migrants brace for the unknowns of Title 42's expiration. Boomer, you got that audio clip, Representative Quaylor. Get that one ready. We're going to use it here in just one moment. But hundreds of U.S. troops, CNN reports, are set to begin a new mission along the southern border Wednesday as officials and a surge of migrants brace for the unknown after the Trump-era border restrictions expire late Thursday. So, yeah, tonight's the night. Title 42 goes away. And I get it. On the one hand, there's not a pandemic anymore. We can't keep claiming COVID where COVID doesn't apply. But when you know it's been ready to expire, and by the way, when the Biden administration tried to get rid of it before, they had to have an alternative. What's your plan B? Well, their plan B is the border is secure. There is nothing to see here. That's what they're saying. So they're sending U.S. troops to the border. And like the mayor of El Paso, his name's Oscar Leeser. Oscar Leeser says, we're prepared for the unknown. We don't know who's coming. It's families. It's single adults. And they estimate that up to 5,000 to 10,000 people were camped out on the other side of the border just across from El Paso alone. 550 troops, mostly from the Army, will support U.S. and Customs Border Protection by monitoring the border, doing data entry and warehouse support. Listen, this is big doings. Mayorkas has also said he's surging personnel to the border. Well, you just figured out you need them, including 1,400 more DHS personnel, 1,000 processing coordinators, and an additional 1,500. The border cannot be declared to be secure if you're having to send an additional 3,000 personnel to the border, not including the National Guard, not including Texas having to call up its own National Guard. I mean, we're looking at having to augment the usual border force, the Customs and Border Patrol, with thousands and thousands of additional personnel just to help them process who's coming. But you know what's interesting to me, though, is it's not just Republicans saying this has to stop. It's not just citizens on the border. There are Democrats that are on board with the idea of putting a stop to this. So Democrat Representative Henry Cuellar, he's a congressman from Texas. He's a Democrat. And story here on Fox says he joined several of his colleagues on the left. That's what it says, on the left, who are sounding the alarm. And in his words, he says, when you get 10,000 people a day, a couple things are going to happen. The Border Patrol right now, he says they're over 124% average over capacity. We've got an audio clip from him. It's right at 2 minutes. And I would not normally play one that long, but this one's worth it. It's interesting to hear what a Democrat is saying, but that's his constituency. So, Boomer, go ahead and play it.
Bring in Texas Democratic Congressman Henry Cuellar, who's very outspoken on the situation on the border. And Congressman, we thank you for coming on again today. So each of the past 2 days, we are told that 10,000 people crossed illegally into the United States. That is a new record. What do you expect is going to happen on Friday after Title 42 comes off?
And you're right. The numbers are coming in. Those are large numbers. I get the daily total from Border Patrol to see what's coming in, and it's been increasing. And when you get 10,000 people a day, a couple of things are going to happen. Border Patrol right now, they're at over 124% average over capacity. Almost every border sector, except for West Texas, is over capacity. And if the NGOs or the border communities cannot take care of those folks and they're over capacity, they're going to start doing street releases. And again, I've been told that they've been instructed to go to street releases if they have to. That image, it's a powerful image, is not good because that means more and more people are going to come in. The numbers I've seen, the estimates, there's over 150,000 people on the northern border states, the Mexican border states. If you include the ones that are in the pipelines, you include the ones that are in Central America, you got hundreds of thousands of people that are heading to our border. And if we don't put any consequences, which means deport people, then these numbers are going to keep increasing.
Yeah, we're also hearing that people may be released into the United States without first being entered into the system. They'll be given a notice to appear, but no way to track them. The city of El Paso was already under a state of emergency, so you can imagine what will happen if more people are released onto the streets. Alejandro Mayorkas.
All right, so let's stop right there. So that's a Democrat. That's Henry Cuellar, the Democrat congressman from Texas, who is making it very clear. He says he has sources that tell him there are upwards of 150,000 migrants sitting on the south side of our border right now, waiting for Title 42 to be lifted, that they intend to basically bum rush the border at that point. That's a Democrat saying that. That's where we are right now. This is chaos, you guys. I mean, there is nothing good about this situation. And the level of the human toll in all of this is at epic levels right now. It is not just a matter of the drain on our systems and the burdens on our society and the fact that our borders should be secure. There are people that are literally dying trying to get into this rush. There are bodies being found in the Rio Grande on a daily basis. There are babies being abandoned. And there's a video, I hope you guys can take a look at it. Bill Malugin, who spent a lot of his time for the last couple of years on the southern border, he posted a video today to his social media. I saw it on Twitter. Bill Malugin, M-E-L-U-G-I-N. Bill Malugin, his video shows a section of the border, and I think it's near Laredo, Texas, that is a complete dump. I mean, like, it looks like some kind of a garbage or waste dump, because what's happening is they swim across the river, they strip off their wet clothes, and they just leave them on the ground. They drop all their trash, things they don't want to have to carry anymore. They get rid of it right there on the spot, and it is everywhere. It is at epic levels. I mean, where are the environmentalists, for that matter? where are the bleeding heart, tree-hugging liberals that don't want the ground trashed? They're nowhere to be seen right now, are they? But listen, it is a bad situation. And President Biden himself finally used the word chaos yesterday. Well, I got time for one quick call, so let me do that real quick. Is that Grandma Wanda on the line right now? Grandma Wanda over in Coleman, how are you doing, my friend?
We're all in this, aren't we?
We are indeed.
Okay. I'm calling. I know you're up against a break. All this is going on, this chaos. When there's chaos, these people, I don't think they're just ordinary people who are smart enough to say, well, just, you know, is outside influence using these people for a purpose. And the purpose is to, very often, is to look behind the chaos for the hidden threat that is being slipped in the cover of the chaos.
I agree.
And my, this is the example that came to mind. I had a friend who had some expensive goats, and they had moved to Alaska, and she had gotten her goats babysat. But the babysitter ran out. Anyway, bottom line is they needed to get these goats to Alaska. About three or four, I think, or two. Anyway, they were little goats. But anyway, they had to go across Canada to get to Alaska. And to get to transport the goats, they had to have a test taken and sent off for results. But by the time the test results got back, the expiration date of the sample was expired. They had a catch 22 on the goats.
Wow.
So her husband, suddenly there was, for a while there was all the worry about the goats, and then the worry wasn't there because he said he was on the way. So what he did was when he approached the border, he stopped and went and bought several bales of hay and went to a veterinarian, got a tranquilizer, laid his baby goats down in the front of his front of his truck, put the several bales up there, and bought about a dozen or so chickens, live grown big chickens with roosters and stuff. When he approached the border, they said, "Can you look in the back of the truck?" He said, "Well, if you want to, but I wouldn't advise it because the chickens were just running loose." So they started to open the truck and said, go on ahead. Okay, now, and they did the same thing, by the way, with a caravan. The caravan was approaching the border just at a time when there was a big scandal on the other side that they wanted to get out of the news. It might have been the laptop, I don't know, but it was the same scenario. However, in this case, Phil, the goats are the WHO new treaty. Look it up. Everybody Google WHO new treaty. This is a parliament, a man in parliament speaking to the parliament of the UK, explaining the effect and the imminency of the WHO treaty. That's the hammer, and that's the biggest hammer there could possibly be.
Well, Grandma Wanda, I am up against a break. I ran long on that, and I hate it, but I got to go. But I know that you're also telling us it's harder to get goats across a border, apparently, than it is, you know, humans to just traffic in whenever they feel like it. But I agree. Go ahead and take it to the break, Boomer. But I agree with you, Grandma. There's always a backstory, and I think there are some evil forces at work here. I agree with you on that.
Listen, I cannot overemphasize the WHO new treaty.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. All right. Appreciate you, Grandma Wanda. All right, boom, take it to the break. We'll come right back. We'll put a lid on this one, and then coming up at the bottom of the half hour, it's that time, Boomer and McQueen. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world, one soundbite at a time. Finishing up this piece that we've been doing on border chaos. That's what number one of the triple. We did, Boomer, we've gone a whole hour just on, I mean, I could keep talking on this.
I mean, we could talk a whole show about this.
This is a target-rich
environment. How ridiculous it is, and why have they not done something sooner? And I mean,
it's maddening.
It is.
I mean, I look at it and think, you know the problem's there. You can see it coming. You've had 2 years in office, and the best you can do is go, we are trying to surge people to the border. Where have you been?
Yeah, and when was the last time the czar was there?
The czar. Who's the czar? Think. Who's the czar?
Think really hard.
That would be, oh, Vice President Kamala Harris. Has she ever really truly been there? I don't think so.
Oh, maybe not. You're right.
Nope.
Wow.
She's been going down to South America periodically to talk with them about the origins of some of the problems that are driving people north. Shut up. Just stop.
Wow.
Just stop. Story here off of Newsmax. Newsmax, Biden adopts a modified Trump strategy on asylum at Mexico border. This story came out yesterday. So, yeah, isn't that funny? So you cancel all the Trump policies, that were working, by the way, because, you know, well, Trump. And then now here we are 2 years later. let's quietly introduce that policy that we canceled of Trump and see if we can get it to work again. Story on Newsmax, President Joe Biden's administration on Thursday, that's today, will begin denying asylum to migrants who show up at the U.S.-Mexico border without first applying online or seeking protection in a country they pass through. Ha! Go figure! You mean a whole idea of, wait in Mexico? Oh, that one? Because you know what the law says? If you're seeking asylum, which is basically safety from something in your own country, you need asylum protections from the things you're trying to run away from. But if you run through multiple other countries on the way here, it means you really didn't want asylum. You just wanted to come to America. And that's an issue. So, yeah, good on them, I guess, for putting it in place, I guess. Hey, that thing you broke, let's fix it and use it again. That's where we're at right now. Says, while stopping short of a total ban, the measure imposes severe limitations on asylum for those crossing illegally who did not first seek a legal pathway. The rule was first announced in February, but the finalized version takes effect today. They announced it in February. We're going to do this thing, this thing that, well, Trump did. We're going to do this thing, and we're going to get it ready, and we're going to try. We're going to do that. Guess what? They're going to put it into effect today. It's taken them this long, 2.5 years to get to the point that they know they got to do something that Trump had already done before that they didn't have to cancel, but they did. Thank you, Newsmax. Mass catch and release, Daily Wire. Mass catch and release. The Biden administration is releasing migrants into the U.S. with no ability to track them. Story out yesterday. The administration is preparing a memo for Border Patrol agents that would direct them to release migrants into the U.S. interior without assigning them a date in an immigration court or coming up with a plan to track them. The move comes as the administration struggles to contain a growing surge of illegal immigration prompted by the court order repeal of Title 42. I mean, my gosh. So basically what they're saying, Texas Governor Greg Abbott called that strategy unacceptable. That's what Henry Cuellar was referring to as street releases. Just check them off on the sheet, notice they were here, and then just let them go wherever they want to go. Give them a ride. That's what they're doing. It's our house. We got to protect this house. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, coming right back. Boomer and McQueen will be on it. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. I'm talking about this show covers some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I mean, this show goes way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. All right, well, it's that time of the week. It's that moment in time where we pause and we bring in other folks who help make this place work. And so my favorite segment every week is, we call it Boomer McQueen. Boomer, you know, he's here every day. McQueen, she shows up and graces us with her presence, and we get opinions from them, and it's good. So without further ado.
Don't make me laugh.
Without further ado, give us the whoop whoops to start it off. All right. Boomer and McQueen, y'all yes. know the deal. I throw out a question, and y'all give me your unvarnished opinions.
Got it. Unvarnished.
Right. Unvarnished.
Bringing it.
There is no varnish on this opinion. All right. So here's my first question. We talk a lot on this show about the military. We talk about, you know, what's going on with the military, what's going on in the world. You guys have, you know, incredible ties to Ukraine because of, you know, family and that mm-hmm. kind of thing. See things happening in the world. Here's my question. You are also the parents of two great kids. One of whom
Thank
is,
you.
You're welcome. Thank you. You're the parents of two great kids. Would you want either one of them to go in the military today if they were old enough? Who's first? Oh, y'all, y'all are staring
I'm ready,
at
but I was waiting for McQueen. I was being a nice husband.
Oh, I can answer that. Heck no. I have a 5-year-old. I have a hard time that I have a 1.5-year-old now. Like, I don't like, I mean, I don't like to even think about that right now. That is a really hard thing. I will say that under the presidency that we have, I sure would not.
Okay.
That's just such a scary thought. It's hard to even look that far down the road. But like with the presidency that we have right now, and with just the way our military, I feel like, is treated, and just even like things that we've seen where there's not been plans, they just like are. It's just reactionary.
Like Afghanistan pullout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. And even in Ukraine, I feel like everything is just kind of reactionary, you know, like what's going on there. So that's really scary. But I also know that's not something that we can necessarily control or have say in, because that's something that is such a highly respected, you know, duty to your country. And if that's something that, you know, our kids, oh my gosh, this is going to make me cry, want to do, you know, down the road, like, I mean, I would be so proud, but like, it's so scary. And I think also even just from the time like that, you know, that you've served, we're in such a different world now. It's a terrifying thought, but I don't think it's really our place to say at that point in their life if they want to make that decision. But again, depending on who the, I know you're like ready to jump. You're chomping at the bit.
I'm so ready to jump on this. And
okay, you go. You
I
have
agree,
a better
I
answer
agree
than
with
me.
What you said, but this is what I'm saying. I'm going to say that I have the utmost respect, and I am so
absolutely,
proud of our
absolutely.
Military.
Mm-hmm.
But what our commander in chief and other people in power right now are doing to our military and pushing on our military and on our U.S. citizens is unbelievably wrong. And for me to support what they're doing right now, like the transgender and all that other stuff, I personally would say, man, you need to double think this right now. But again, I have the utmost respect for our military,
yes,
and
absolutely.
I'm proud of our military.
Okay, yep. So what I heard from y'all was you don't dislike the idea of someone desiring to serve in the military.
Correct.
Right, absolutely.
But you're questioning hard about whether you'd want them to join under current leadership.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that summed it up a lot
because
better
why,
than I said. Uh-huh.
But why?
You gave the mom version.
She gave the mom version. But why would, like, for me, if he's going to join the military or one of our children is going to join the military, I want them to go in strong and learn how to fight for our country, yeah. Not learn how to, oh yeah, are you actually the right gender? No, I don't want that. Yeah. I don't want them to push those things on my kids, even if they were in the adult phase of life. I want them to be taught this is your country and this is how you defend it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's so okay, fair answer. I mean, I agree with all, you know, I've got family members in the Army right mm-hmm. now, and there are times when I'm concerned that they're in the middle of something that, you know, they have to toe the line to get promoted, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right.
And I hate that idea. Although I will say this, I also trust that person in my family implicitly. He's doing great things, and he's not yielding to anything. But I agree with you. I understand the sentiment right now that in the current management leadership that we have, it's a difficult idea to think about your kid going and joining under those leaders. That yeah. leader.
And mm-hmm. I'm not saying that the whole military is like that. I'm just saying
not
that
at all.
It, from what we hear right now, just from the top down,
yep.
that's what confuses me. That's what frustrates me.
Yeah.
And I think probably joining now versus if you had joined 12 years ago and you've already been, you know, you've seen it and you even are aware of what kind of like the change and how it's changed since, you know what I mean? I think mm-hmm. you'd recognize that too. Or, you know, 20 years ago or 30 years ago versus like if you were to join now, I think it's just so
different. And
so
I'll be honest with you. I served through a different time. I came through mm-hmm. early days of my career were in the Cold War era.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, you know, distinctly what it was like to see Reagan as the commander in chief. Mm. I served under the Bush administration, which, you know, may have had some policy decisions I didn't agree with sometimes, but at the same time, it was very much a pro-military environment. And then I also, of course, served post 9/11, mm-hmm. where there was a national sentiment of pride in the idea of being uniformed service because we were going to go take care of those that did something to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a lot of things that just aren't in place right now. And I think what you guys described, what the sentiment that you guys as parents described, is being played out everywhere because our recruiting numbers are so low. I think a lot of people feel that way.
Mm-hmm. And that's scary because it is. It's like you said, double think it, like think that over before, you know, right, the way it is right now.
But I still say it took a Carter to bring us a Reagan.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I believe that there are still any number of good people out there,
mm-hmm.
families like y'all that are raising kids. They're going to be amazing military leaders and troops. And we'll just see what happens.
Absolutely.
All right. Okay. Next question.
Ready.
Okay. This one has less of a mama bear attached to it.
Oh, gosh. And you know, did you notice it was funny? We kept saying he, and because I'm thinking, Paisley sure ain't doing that. Yeah,
your little girl's going to rule the world, I'm pretty sure. I've seen some of her. She's strong-willed.
Yes. Oh, that she is. Yep. She is.
Very much so.
She had her 18-month doctor's appointment today, and she is has made it out of the first percentile. She's a giant. She's now in the third. So, yeah.
She's also a hoot, by the way.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. She's...
I think one of my favorite memes. Well, of course, there's always the one where she's talking to you and you're that video.
Oh, right.
That's hilarious.
The Star Wars one.
Star Wars. And then there's the one where she called her grandmother on the phone by herself.
Yes.
But then there's also the meme you did of her at home versus her at daycare. Like, that's not the same child.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why she laughs and coos at you all day long because she comes home and takes it out on me.
Oh, they all think she's this perfect angel, yeah.
Nope.
Okay, next question.
Trickery.
All right, here we go. You ready?
Ready.
Southern border. So you haven't been in the studio, but we've been talking southern border for the last hour.
Okay.
So, all right, so we're a benevolent country. You know, we're the send us your huddled masses, you know, and we're the place that people want to go to in the world. We have so much. All right, but what's the dividing line? What's the difference between being, you know, willing to enforce our borders versus extending a hand of compassion? What's the difference?
Mm-hmm. Extending a hand of compassion, in my eyes, is helping someone in need or for someone to come over in the correct way and for us to be able to provide citizenship. If they go through the correct channels.
Okay.
I mean, in my eyes, again, that's in my eyes. Not for them just to come over and let everyone pay for all their medical expenses and who knows what else.
Well, I would totally agree that there are a lot of people that are, you know, they're coming over the proper way and getting citizenship. And working towards citizenship the way that you should. There's a lot of people that go through that process, and it is a process. It doesn't just happen overnight, and it is hard. Like, I mean, I'll say I'm sure thankful that I'm not the one patrolling the borders because I'd be going like, "Oh, you brought a teddy bear? Yes, you can come through." You know, like that. Like I have such a heart for that sort of thing. So it's this is why I am not on the border.
I know the secret to getting in.
Yes, that's bring what it is. Bear. Bring a teddy bear.
I need to borrow your lawnmower. I'll bring a teddy bear. I'll be yelling at whatever I want.
Yeah, you don't want me there. Because that is hard. Like, how you draw, I mean, how you draw the line, but you have to, but there's policies in place and there's ways that you do it properly. And lots of people work their way towards citizenship and they don't just get a free pass.
Well, we have a lot of
pass.
Family that has worked their way towards citizenship.
Yes.
And yes,
that
you
is
do. Yeah.
That is the way to do it.
And I do too.
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly. And I'm sure there's so many people out there that have family that have done it that way. And it's just.
And we're proud of it.
Absolutely. And it, man, when I remember when one of our family members got their citizenship and the celebration.
Oh, yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it's a big deal. Yes. Yeah. And like you see so many people that they're working right now so hard and that's what they're striving for. That's what they're working towards. And like then they can really appreciate and understand like the American dream, if you will. And, you know, when they do have that right to vote, like they've gone through the process as opposed to just like a free handout and not doing anything with their once they get here.
Yeah. So you weren't here for the early part of the show. I don't know if you heard or not my monologue. I gave the analogy of what it would be like to have your dream house. You finally built your dream house. You come home and people are in your house eating your food and doing stuff like it's theirs. And then expanded that out to that's what our nation's going through right mm-hmm. now. And so I think the point here is it is one thing to say, I will give of my own resources to help you out of a heart of compassion because you're having a hard time versus somebody came in, took something without asking,
yep.
and then expected me to be compassionate towards them for having taken it without asking.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's where we're at. And it's I've heard amazing stories in life of people who, you know, someone's about to rob them and they wind up giving them something instead and it changed their life. I get it. That happens occasionally. But by and large, someone who steals from you or takes from you illegally is not the one who's going to be the recipient of the heart of compassion.
Yep.
Nor should they sometimes.
Right.
All right. All right, boom shakalaka. We got to go to a break.
Yes,
this,
we do.
This segment always goes by so fast.
Yes,
all right,
it does.
So we'll come right back, and this is where I sit back in fear and trembling, wondering what question they're going to ask me, because the next part of Boomer and McQueen is they ask me anything they want to. I reserve the right to say no, but okay. Nonetheless, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. I will have order in my studio. I need a gavel. It's chaos in here, I'm just saying. All right, we're with Boomer and McQueen right now. Let's do the whoop-whoops again. Boomer and McQueen, the whoop-whoops. Do
it. Only right. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right, so it's my favorite time of the week, Boomer and McQueen. I have questions for them at the first part, and then we come back from the break, typically around now, and I sit back and wait because they have a question for me. Anything they want. Ooh. I do reserve the right to say, ain't no way I'm answering that question. So let's go ahead and I will defer to McQueen first. So even though you've been a smart aleck during the break, go ahead.
I don't know what you're talking about. Well, I have a lighthearted question for you today.
Oh, good.
Yes. So you have adorable grandkids.
Yes,
we were just looking at pictures of them. And so what are you, like, as they grow up, so let's see, you have an almost one-year-old and a three-and-a-half-year-old. Do you have another one? Just two of them. Okay.
Two so far.
And counting, right? What are you most excited like about doing with them or teaching them just as they grow up?
Oh, dang.
I know.
Ooh. You know.
That's good.
I'll tell you, sometimes it's the little stuff, you know, that like you didn't see it coming. It wasn't planned. And it's like, oh my gosh. Like I'll never forget. They're out of state. We were up there visiting and I'm sitting on the couch with my little man. And he was maybe not quite three yet. and we're just watching cartoons together for a minute. I mean, it's like nothing special. Sitting on the couch, and he said, he calls me Cap. Mm-hmm. And he goes, "What's that, Cap?" And I told him what it was on the TV. And then he just says, "I love you, Cap." I was done in, man. I was done in.
Whatever you want. What do you want to do, buddy?
I'll buy it all.
You're my sole heir. Everything is yours. But you know, sometimes it's the little things, uh-huh. and you can't get around how cool that is. But I tell you what, we love is when they come to the house, and you know, we've got a big backyard, and we bought that property with that backyard with the intent of being able to see grandkids running around in the grass. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they come home, they're out there with the dog. He's out there running around with his dog in our backyard. Sometimes it's the simplest stuff. Mm-hmm. We do have our first beach trip being planned as grandparents.
Oh, man.
That is in the planning phases right now.
Nice.
Like this year, next year?
Yeah, it'll be within this calendar year.
Okay.
But we're looking at the very first time to go to the beach and walk around in the surf and poke our toes in the sand. And,
man. So
that's I'm looking forward to that in a big, 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 big way.
Of course.
That's awesome. Of course, I'm
pretty sure we're going to be the permanent babysitters and mm-hmm, my son and daughter-in-law will go off on a date. We'll be worn out when the week's over.
So as long as you understand that's exactly what is going to happen, yes. Right. I will say that when we got to do that the first time with Pax, that is like the best trip we've ever gone on. That first time with him at the beach. And he was right about three.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It was fun.
We got about 3.5 minutes. So you got one too?
I got a question. So not Cap question related.
All I want is Cap granddaddy questions. All right.
So, but my question is, how long do you think it's going to be before someone, quotations, goes after Elon Musk because now Twitter is the place to go for free speech? And, you know, Tucker Carlson's going there, and he's not going to be the... first, we were there. Start streaming.
We were on it.
But... Tucker followed us, and then, who else is going to be there very, very soon? You know, that's where everybody's going to start going, but they're going to go after it.
I can see it coming. Suddenly, Elon Musk is under investigation for tax fraud, or who knows? I don't know. Now, I will say this. In the court of public opinion, he's already a pariah for the liberals. Mm. I mean, they the guy who used to be, you know, kind of the dude, he has Tesla, you know, and he's taking us into space. What are you going to do for us, Elon Musk? Well, now all of a sudden he's like, well, that Elon Musk guy, he's an evil man. He's for free speech. And I look at it and think, I don't have an answer to your question per se, but I agree with you. I think they're going to find some reason to be able to go after him and do what they can to try and take him down a notch. But good luck doing that, because you're talking about the richest man in the world.
Yep.
Who can go live on a backside of a mountaintop in, Zimbabwe.
Somewhere.
And still do better than anybody else. So
unlimited funds, yes.
Pretty much. Yeah,
that's it.
He's like a country unto himself in some ways.
Yeah.
He probably owns a few.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Maybe he should invest in Right Side Radio.
He should.
That's what I think.
I'm going to call
Andy
him
should
next.
Save the rocket.
He can save the rocket.
I know. We could just save the rocket.
Why don't we call him?
We're all on Twitter.
We're posting the social media. Elon Musk can help save the rocket.
Elon Musk.
All right, we got about a minute. We usually end up with, if we have time, who has the stupidest story of the week? The stupidest story of the week. What is it going to be? Who is it?
Well,
is
we got 10 seconds.
Okay, never mind.
I was all excited. I was going to yell mine out really fast, but I can't do it that fast.
What's the headline?
Sorry.
You got a headline?
Man breaks into like 5 houses, and every single one he jumps in the pool or on the trampoline.
That's your story?
Yes, that's crazy. Like 5 houses he broke into. Florida man. Uh-huh. And he jumped on the trampoline, and it went into the pool of all the houses, if they had one or the other.
She needs to work on her stories.
She's amazed by this.
She is.
I am.
She loves those weird stories like that. They're the best things ever.
That is stupid. Let me break in the house. I'm going to go swimming
last
before
time you
I jump
had, like,
to the
a
next
news
one.
Going into a,
all right, y'all.
Elementary
I'm never
school.
Finding looking for a story again. That's it. I quit this one.
All right, Boomer McQueen. I love you in spite of yourselves. I love both of you. So, all right. We'll be right back. Calling up on the line here next, State Auditor Andrew Sorrell calling in. We're going to find out what's going on in Montgomery with this ESG bill, the one that basically is designed to keep wokeness out of our state finances. Phil Williams, we'll be right back. Hey, are you right?
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, going back to the triple dipper right now, and I'm skipping right over number two because we're going straight into number three. We call it periodically, we do this, right? We resource the show intensely. We find all the stories. You hear me rattling the paper. What possibly could we do today? Well, I keep finding stories that I know relate to where we are. Sometimes you got to cover down. It's so easy to get lost in, you know, Fox News and Newsmax and whatever they say about what's happening in D.C. or on the national stage. Well, how about this? There's a lot of stuff happening right here at home, and I swear, after 8 years in the Alabama State Senate, I can tell you that I firmly believe that a lot of what comes out of Montgomery has more of an impact on us than anything that comes out of D.C. So that being said, we pull it all together once in a while, and we do a section we call Home Fries. Sizzle it up. Thank you very much. Got a little Home Fries going. And so to kick it off, I'm going to go ahead and go to the phones right now. Our state auditor, Andrew Sorrell, formerly in the state house, serving in District 3 up in North Alabama, but he is now elected to statewide office to serve as our state auditor. He's on the line right now. Andrew Sorrell, how you doing, sir?
Phil, I'm doing really well, and always a pleasure to come on your show.
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate you making some time for us. Let me ask you, there is an anti-ESG bill floating through the Senate, which is in committee yesterday. And ESG for our listeners, I mean, y'all have all heard me talk about it before. That's the environmental social governance. It's the wokeness in our you know, insurance and banking and investment industries. Auditor Sorrell, tell me, what's the deal? Where's the bill right now? What are you seeing, and why is it important?
So the bill's in a much better position today than it was just a couple days ago. And last week, it looked like the bill might be on life support. There were some large lobbying groups down in Montgomery that had been rumored to have killed the bill or at the very least delayed it. I was pleased to see it come back up in committee this week, being on a committee agenda. The public hearing request had been dropped, so I knew we were probably looking at being able to pass the bill out this week. Sure enough, that's what ended up happening. I was able to attend the committee meeting at 3 o'clock yesterday. Senator Roberts had time to introduce the bill, explain what it did, and it received a party line vote and popped out of committee. Now, the similar bill, not identical, but similar, is already out of committee in the Alabama House, and that's carried by Representative Chip Brown. I have not had an opportunity to read Chip's bill, so I don't know what exactly the differences are between the two. But I can tell you that Dan Roberts' bill prohibits the state of Alabama from entering into contracts with companies who use ESG agenda to discriminate against other companies or individuals. So to give an example of how this might look, I'm making this one up, okay? But let's say that you have a woke bank that says we are not going to do business with a gun manufacturer in Alabama. Okay, well, great then. The state of Alabama is not going to do business with your bank either. That's the essence of Dan Roberts' bill. We got to start fighting fire with fire. And if they're going to try to cancel conservative people and other conservative corporations, then we're going to fight back. And that's what Dan Roberts' bill does.
Well, and Dan Roberts is a good dude from down in the Jefferson County, Shelby County area. And I'm glad he's carrying this bill. This is a reality. And you know, the rumor mill is that Regions Bank, which on their own website posts how proud they are of their DEI or their DEI initiatives and their ESG scores, they are rumored to be one of the ones in the background that could be trying to get this bill put down. But that being said, it did come out of committee, but that's still only one leg of the journey. You and I both know that. What are you hearing? Is this bill going to pass? What do you think is going to happen?
So I was able to meet with the lieutenant governor this week. He's very supportive of the legislation. That gives me a lot of hope that it's going to move forward. I happened to have lunch with Representative Shane Stringer. It was by accident. We ended up at the same restaurant. On Tuesday, Shane Stringer told me, you know, he serves on Rules Committee in the House. He told me he was going to try to pick Chip Brown's bill for the special order calendar. So it looks like it's got some momentum in both chambers. And I fully expect we will see a ESG bill passed this year. Now, let me qualify that statement. The question is not so much in my mind whether or not it'll pass, but whether or not it'll get watered down to a point where it's not worth passing anymore.
Right.
And we saw this happen in the constitutional carry fight last year. The Alabama House passed a very strong version of constitutional carry, sent it up to the Senate. Quite frankly, it got watered down to the point where the gun groups were no longer even supportive of the bill and said we'd rather see it die than to pass a nothing bill. And the House was able to non-concur, went to conference committee, and the bill got fixed. All of the real objectionable things were pulled out, and we passed a clean, strong constitutional carry bill. Still not perfect, but I would say clean and strong. Are we going to have to go through some type of similar fight on this ESG bill? Yeah, it's quite possible. I mean, you never know. There's so many opportunities for a bill to be changed. I mean, let's say it hits the Senate floor. It could be amended. It can go to a House committee, get amended. It can go to House floor and be amended. Finally, it can go to a conference committee, and they can completely rewrite the bill in conference committee. So you never know what you're going to get until you're actually casting the final vote on the bill. So I think that's what we've got to be vigilant against, is making sure that the bill stays strong.
Well, it's a bill, too, that has legs. I've not heard Governor Ivey speak about the bill, but we do know that our own attorney general went up to D.C. this week and testified as to the negative impacts of ESG banking and ESG corporate mentality when it comes to affecting the various states. So you've got one of the, you know, the statewide members of Alabama's government that's actually speaking on a national level right now, and I believe he's involved in litigation on it, too, isn't he?
Yes, he is. He's joined with many other attorneys general from various states, and they're fighting ESG at the national level in the Biden administration. I was very, very proud of Steve Marshall and the job that he did testifying before Congress yesterday. He was one of three. I think it was the attorney general from Utah and then maybe the treasurer from somewhere in the Midwest, Kentucky, something, Illinois, somewhere in that range. But anyway, very proud to see Steve Marshall up there fighting for our Alabama values. But good news, Kay Ivey, I believe, is very supportive of good, strong ESG legislation, because back in February, she did sign on to a letter that there were, I think, 19 governors in total, including Ron DeSantis.
You're right.
That signed on to this anti-ESG letter. Yeah. So I'm also proud of Kay Ivey for taking a stand against ESG. Of course, you've got me talking about ESG all over the radio and as many articles as I can get printed. So, and then I know Will Ainsworth is supportive of the ESG legislation. So we've got a lot of statewide support for these type bills. But let me say this, Phil. I don't think this bill is not all that we need. This bill is a good step in the right direction. But this bill doesn't address the woke investing that could potentially happen with Alabama's pension funds and yes. RSA money and all that type thing. And I'd like to see some legislation there that prohibits. We don't need to take conservative Alabamians' money and let it be invested in woke corporations that are more concerned about diversity, equity, and inclusion than they are concerned about profit. And, you know, we're acting as a fiduciary, and we have a fiduciary responsibility. When we're managing other people's money, a fiduciary tries to earn the best risk-adjusted return that they can on somebody's money. But if you're making ESG investments, you're knowingly picking investments that have a lower average return than other investments do. You're going to stay out of, you know, let's say big oil. You're not going to invest in ExxonMobil. You're going to stay out of gun manufacturing. So many different segments of our economy you can't support, and you're basically stuck to investing in renewable energy and things like that. So I'd like to see some legislation that prevents Alabama from investing in with woke asset managers, companies like BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard, some of the big guys. Also, I'm concerned about our proxy votes. You know, if you own 100 shares of Ford stock and you get a letter in the mail asking to vote on corporate resolutions or board of directors, you probably just throw that in the trash because you know your 100 shares isn't going to make a hill of beans difference. But imagine if you're voting on behalf of the state of Texas, the pension fund in the state of Texas. Imagine how many shares of a company like Ford they might own. Well, your vote suddenly becomes very, very powerful, and your voice is very powerful. So are our proxy advisory firms voting woke on behalf of of our state and other conservative states. And that's another big issue that we need to address. So this bill is not a be-all, end-all. It's a good step in the right direction, but I think there's a lot more legislation left to do.
No, I completely agree. I was on Jeff Poor's show in Mobile this morning, and I said almost verbatim, it's like you and I are reading notes here, that sort of the same trend with regards to our state pension funds. And I know that Florida and Texas, I believe, have both divested of any relation to BlackRock for that very reason. And I think our RSA has been a little bit quiet on the issue. Do you know if RSA taken it? I mean, they said they don't think they have any involved ESG stuff involved, but have they firmly said they won't?
I don't think they said they won't, but yeah, I read the same article you did where they said they weren't aware that they had it.
Yeah.
So I guess that's good. I know that I'll give Young Boozer a shout out here. I know he has divested Alabama of $750 million. Of BlackRock money. There was some type of money market fund that the state of Alabama had with BlackRock for $750 million, and he did pull that from them. I'm a member of the State Financial Officers Foundation, which is a group of conservative auditors, comptrollers, treasurers, and other chief financial officers from around the country, and we're collectively working to fight back on ESG. And I know treasurers from that group alone have divested $5 billion of money from BlackRock. So it's starting to have an impact. BlackRock is starting to fly people out to meet with, like, Marlo Oaks, the state treasurer in Utah, and basically do everything but beg them not to pull the money from them. But these conservative treasurers are like, look, we're not going to leave our money with you. When you're projecting a 6% annual return instead of an 8% we can get somewhere else. Imagine if your pension for 30 years earns 2% less return.
Oh, yeah.
That's hundreds of thousands of dollars of difference. Of what you're going to be able to retire on.
Well, so and for the longest time, excuse me for interrupting there, but the longest time, though, Alabama's had a mandatory 8% return, which the legislature had to prop up because the return was never good from the 2008 crash forward. And so you're right. If it gets worse, because it's not only the economy, it's the investment management going all ESG, then yeah, it has a detrimental effect on the overall pension plan for the entire state of Alabama.
Well, you're absolutely right. We're at $43.9 billion right now is what RSA is managing. I'm not sure what percentage funded we are. I know it's better than it was 10 years ago, but I don't know where we're at. But the legislature constantly has to fund that to make sure that it doesn't go broke, basically. Because, yeah, if you guarantee an 8% return and you only earn 7%, that's not a sustainable model.
No.
I do know the chief financial officer from Florida. His name's Jimmy Petronas. He's a member of SFOF. And him and others are really taking the lead. Marlo Oaks is doing such a good job. State auditor out in Oklahoma is doing a fantastic job speaking out on these issues. We're also fighting things like the Biden administration new rule on the mortgage loan level pricing adjustments, where people with good credit are now having to subsidize those with poor credit, subsidizing their fees, getting a mortgage. So doing a lot of good work together, and I'm very encouraged to see it, because the left is 19 years ahead of us on this issue. So Secretary General Kofi Annan introduced this in January 2004, ESG as a concept, and got 50 large corporations to sign on. And the left has been, you know, pushing towards ESG for decades now. And conservative states are just now starting to wake up and say, wait a minute, why are we taking states like Texas and giving their pension money to companies like BlackRock or proxy advisory services like ISS or Glass Lewis, who are voting woke 99% of the time? They're voting against the best interests of the pension fund holders in our state.
And State Auditor Andrew Sorrell, I'm sorry, we got to go to a break right now, so I appreciate your time, but you are absolutely spot on it. And as this bill tracks its way through the legislative process, stay in tune with us, and we'll have you back on again sometime soon.
Thanks so much, Phil.
All right, thank you. All right, but we're taking it to the break, brother. I ran that one all the way to the wire. So, yeah, that was our State Auditor, Andrew Sorrell, very conservative member of the Alabama legislature, willing to step out there and say what needs to be said and not afraid to call it out. And I appreciate the work he's doing. All right, y'all stay tuned. We're going to come right back. We got a whole batch of home fries we'll be taking on. Y'all stay tuned. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. Yeah, making it cool to be a conservative. So, hey, listen, before I go any further, I got to tell you, our folks at ZLA Solutions, they are just like epic good at what they do. So ZLA Solutions provides any number of different kinds of business end solutions. They can help you with your logistics, your warehousing, you know, doing things like quality control, sorting and containment, all that kind of stuff. They're good at it. But their bread and butter, man, it's still staffing. Staffing, getting you the people you need for your job site. So whether you need onesies and twosies with, you know, special niche skills that are hard to find, or just a whole shift full of people, they can do it. They can do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing, all of it. They can get you blue collar, white collar, no collar, I always say. So check them out. ZLA Solutions. These are friends of mine. I know of what I speak, all right? ZLA Solutions. Their website is ZLAUSA.com. That's ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. Boomer, I don't think we have quite accentuated the home fries sound effect good enough. I mean, home fries.
You have it. There it is.
Nice. Makes me hungry listening to it.
Oh, yeah.
Just sizzling up some home fries. Throw them in the pan and cook them right up. So that's the section we do when we're just talking about things that are happening all over our very own state. We just had that conversation a moment ago with State Auditor Andrew Sorrell. And I mentioned in the middle of our conversation, because it was about ESG, environmental social governance. ESG is just, it's just wokeness gotten into our finances. It's ridiculous, really. It's not what it gets corporations outside of their charter and away from the idea of profitability and into the idea of you need to go out there and do good things. But we make soft drinks. Yeah, but you got to go do some good things. Okay, but yeah, we're here to you know, build houses. Yeah, but you got to do some good things. Well, building houses is what we do. Anyway, Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall, story here on 1819 News. Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall testified before Congress just this week against ESG investing. Says he testified in front of the U.S. House Oversight and Accountability Committee on Wednesday, advocating against the use of environmental, social, and governance criteria in investment decisions. Here's his quote. He says, "Alabama law, like the laws of so many states, empowers me," the Attorney General, "empowers me to represent the state's interest in court and to enforce the state's consumer protection laws." He went on to say, "ESG poses unique challenges to Alabama's energy consumers as well as our many state leading industries. But it's bigger than just that, Alabama. ESG is a clear and present danger to consumers and our democracy. An unelected cabal of global elites is using ESG to hijack our capitalist system, capture corporations, and threaten the hard-earned dollars of American workers." All right. By the way, in case you didn't know, Attorney General Steve Marshall is also the head of the Republican Attorney General's Association around the nation. So, yeah, and you know, folks like you and I, conservatives, we look at ESG and we call it a wokeness scorecard. That's what it is. It's a wokeness scorecard. How woke is your company? Okay, you get a higher score. You're not woke enough? Low score. And then what happens? Low scores? The woke of the world are told to avoid those companies because they don't do it right. They don't get out there and do the woke stuff. They're not out there putting, you know, transgenders on their beer cans and whatever else. Well, Attorney General Steve Marshall on the front lines testifying on behalf of us. Yeah, glad of it. More home fries when we get right back. I'll tell you what's happened with McConnell and Tuberville. Huh. Are they split? We'll see. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, and I know because I've seen other ones, the most beautiful state in the nation, that would be Alabama. I'm talking about this show sends its signal way on down south of Birmingham and way on up north of Huntsville from Tuscaloosa all the way back over to Gadsden, and I mean even parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Hey, listen, before I go any further, let me just tell you, the Elm Foundation, one of our advertisers, the Elm Foundation, that's ELM, it stands for Expect Little Miracles. They're a 501c3, a nonprofit group out of Huntsville, and they are doing some crazy cool stuff, just basically changing people's lives. And they are not like a government program where they throw money at a situation and hope it sticks. The Elm Foundation is actually walking through life with people who are on the streets, who need to get back into, you know, being productive. They need job skills. They need, you know, the ability to even build a resume for that matter. I mean, and the Elm Foundation, it provides them actual one-on-one accountability and walks them through a program and helps them to get back into life and recover their self-worth on top of their productivity. I'm just telling you, this is very cool. And what I also love, too, they're a 501c3. If you were to support their work, any dollar you give goes 100% into their programs because they have one benefactor who has decided to make sure that all their administrative costs are covered. So their staff, all their office, all that kind of stuff covered. Every dollar they raise after that goes into programs. So check them out. Their website is ELMHSV, as in Elm Huntsville, ELMHSV.org. And if you talk to them, tell them you heard about it on Right Side. I would appreciate that. All right, let me jump back into home fries. So you may have not heard, but our own Senator Tommy Tuberville is making waves, man. He is making waves because he is absolutely a pro-life senator, and I appreciate that. And he knows that he also represents an absolutely pro-life state. And he is, just like many of us, he is put out by the fact that in the wake of the Roe v. Wade, you know, being overturned by the Dobbs decision, that the U.S. military, because of the Biden administration, the U.S. military is going to be offering opportunities for abortion pay, basically. You're in the military? Well, we'll try to accommodate you to live in a state where abortions are still allowed. You're in the military? Well, we'll fly you and give you paid leave to go kill that baby in another state. It's ridiculous. Well, Tommy Tuberville is saying, you know what? If that's the way you're going to be, if you're going to try and force that kind of thing, even though we're a pro-life state and we have multiple bases, we got Maxwell Air Force Base, Fort Rucker, well, now Fort Novosel, Redstone Arsenal, Anderson Army Depot. So you're just going to say, sorry about your state laws, here's what we're going to do. Nope. Then he's going to say, Tommy Tuberville is, you don't get to promote any generals or admirals. Well, he's got their attention. They're getting pissed. So right now, a story broke on the Hill yesterday that even Mitch McConnell is now saying he doesn't like this. That's okay. Tommy Tuberville's hanging on. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell said Wednesday he does not support Senator Tommy Tuberville's blanket hold on more than 180 non-political military promotions, which Democrats say is keeping qualified people out of key roles. It said non-political, but it meant, oh yeah, non-political military promotions. I got it. Tuberville has held up the promotions of 184 general and flag officers for weeks to protest the Defense Department's abortion policies. Asked whether or not they can resolve the impasse, McConnell said, you'll have to ask Senator Tuberville about that. Seven former secretaries of defense have sent a letter to the Senate warning that the hold on promotions is harming our military readiness and it risks damaging U.S. national security. What a crock. What a chicken little response. Okay, let me get this straight. The military crashes and burns because the one star can't become a two star or because the admiral can't take on the new command position. Like there's nobody else that can do it. In the meantime, what the senator is saying is, hey, Department of Defense, you don't get to make law on your own. We are the legislature. The legislative branch of government is the one that decides things like what you just did. And you're violating, by the way, the sovereignty of my state's position on abortion, along with all the others. So you know what? All you generals that are waiting on your star, just hang on. All you flag officers that are waiting to command the fleet, just hang on, because you're going to get there eventually. It's just not going to go fast. Because his hold is not permanent. His hold just does not allow the process to be speedy. And so there. But so what happens is, you can always imagine, whenever you become the senator or the congressman who's willing to step out there and be conservative, well, the liberal media is going to find a reason to pick. Okay. So, a second story, AL.com. Tuberville on white nationalists in the military, he says, quote, I call them Americans. They have so tried to create something that wasn't there. So he did an interview with WBHM. It's a public radio. It's an NPR station in Birmingham. Well, mistake number one, he went on NPR. But actually, I take it back. Go there. But just understand, they're not going to construe things the way you want them to. And of course, they asked if he believed that white nationalists should be allowed to serve in the military. What a stupid question. Senator, do you believe that white nationalists should be allowed to serve in the military? Well, first of all, his response was, he says, they call them that. I call them Americans. Okay. They made hay out of that. He's trying to ignore the fact that white nationalists are in the military. He thinks it's okay for white nationalists to be in the military. And that's not what he's saying at all. His office pointed out, no. What he was saying was he was skeptical of the notion that there are white nationalists in the military. And he believes the men and women in uniform are patriots, say his office. And Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin seems to think otherwise, they say, subjecting them to extremism training as his very first act in office that cost us 4 million man hours. Yeah. So what he did say overall, he said, this is Tuberville, he said, we are losing in the military so fast, our readiness in terms of recruitment. And why? I'll tell you why. Because the Democrats are attacking our military, saying we need to get out the white extremists, the white nationalists, people that don't believe in our agenda, Joe Biden's agenda. They're destroying it. This year, we will not reach any recruiting goals, he pointed out. So if we want to talk about looking weak, that's where we're going to look weak. We cannot start putting rules in there for one type, one group, and make different factions in the military. It's the most important institution in the U.S., our allies, and it's a strong, hard-nosed killing machine. We call it our military. So basically what he's saying is, stop pretending that white nationalists control the flow in the military. They don't. But speaking of politics in the military, as we cook up a batch of home fries, I just gave you stories there about what your attorney general is saying in D.C. and what your U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville is saying about several things. But here's something else. Space Command. Oh, yeah. Space Command. So we still don't know. This is the most recent story. It came off of Space Policy Online, dated 4 days ago. Space Policy Online, Air Force Secretary Frank Kendall was peppered with questions from two congressional committees about when a decision will be made to locate the headquarters of U.S. Space Command, and he said he has no news to share. He said the issue has been pitting Colorado versus Alabama, and it's been on hold for over 2 years. 2 years. It was already approved. It's the appeal process we're talking about. One powerful House member from Alabama said, we are beyond the point of frustration. In fact, who that was Mike Rogers, Congressman Mike Rogers, who is now also chairman of House Armed Services. Here's his quote. He says, we are beyond frustration with the continued delay in announcing the finalization of SpaceCom basing. 27 months ago, he says, the Air Force made the right decision to go with Huntsville. 12 months ago, the Government Accounting Office and the Department of Defense Inspector General affirmed that decision. There's only one state still protesting, and that state came in fifth in the competition. And he points out the political games must end. Your continued hand-wringing is delaying SpaceCom's full operational capacity, undermining our ability to defend the nation. You need to end the charade and make the announcement. That's the chair of House Armed Services. Unfortunately, we're dealing with the Biden administration. All right, one more home fry fresh out the pan before we go to the break. You may be of the mind that Huntsville is the biggest city now in the state of Alabama, which would be true. You may be of the mind that very, very, very close is Birmingham-Montgomery, only separated by like 112 people or something like that. Birmingham barely keeps number two on the list of the biggest cities. Montgomery next and then Mobile. Except, big news, this is big doings. I was talking to somebody down there in Mobile who is in the know. 1819 News had this story dated 2 days ago. The Mobile City Council. And this, by the way, this was a fight. There are those that don't want to have it and those that do. But they're talking about annexing a large portion of West Mobile. If you're not familiar with the area, West Mobile is part of the growth corridor for Mobile. Mayor Sandy Stimson recommended a plan that would allow the city population to grow up to 213,000 if the annexation is approved by the voters, and it would become the second largest city in Alabama. That's gonna carry some weight. It's not like Mobile's not already significant as it is. I mean, with a major warm water port, the shipbuilding industry, all the other industries that are down there, and just a solid, large-based population. But, man, if this annexation is approved, and I'm not going to be surprised if it isn't. It's going to be approved, I bet. The fact that they got it to the city council first, that's already the fight. And now I think there's a bunch of folks out there that would love to have city services. And so we'll see what happens. Anyway, Mobile City Council, there's some home fries for you, approves an annexation that could make Mobile the second largest city in the entire state of Alabama. All right, Boomer, take us to the break, brother. We'll do that right now. We'll come back, maybe tie up one or two home fries, chat for a bit, and head to the house. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, listen, by the way, you hear the ads playing during the break like every other radio station, but just know this, Right Side Radio is a separate business. We are not owned by any of the stations that we're on, and part of the way we survive as a business is advertising. So we sell our own advertising. You can't call the station and advertise with us. You need to call us. So the way to do that is just go to our website, rightsideradio.org. There's a place on there that says advertising, and you send us a message through that. We respond to it real quick. So if you feel like our show stands for the things that you stand for, and you want to advertise your business somewhere that reaches upwards of 30,000 people a week, well, that's us. And we would love to have you on the team. Send us a message, rightsideradio.org. We'll get in touch with you ASAP, and we'd love to have you on the team. Boomer, you got that home fries sound effect? Just one more time. Cook me up some home fries. Yeah. Yeah, you can smell them. All right, so last one I got here, and you might want to chime in on this, sports guy. Cool. So there were a number of bills, and I will say this is a little this bugs me, and maybe it was planned, but the same guy who pushed off the school choice bill and said, yeah, we're going to have a public hearing. Everybody come on down. And, oh, by the way, I'm not going to let you vote on it. And then send it to another committee.
Yeah.
That same guy, Senator Donnie Chesteen from down yonder in Coffee County in Geneva, Alabama. He had a public hearing on four bills, all carried by Senator Chris Elliott, who's been on the show multiple times from Baldwin County. And these were all Alabama High School Athletic Association bills.
Okay.
They were designed to straighten out some problems. One of those, and by the way, what I'm saying is Donnie Chesteen, Senator Chesteen, had the public hearing and then said, we're not going to be voting on any of these. I don't understand. I don't know.
Is it like a tactic?
Yes, it is a tactic.
Okay.
Now, this could have been prearranged. Maybe there was an agreement reached behind the scenes because these bills, according to what Chris Elliott is saying, were designed to also get the attention of the High School Athletic Association, which can change its own rules. In fact, he said, I don't want the legislature to micromanage high school athletics. I get that. But, like, here's some of the bills. This is, to me, some of this makes sense. Senate Bill 249, all it said was basically the High School Athletic Association has to determine a student's eligibility within 21 days of being requested. They can't leave it stringing out and miss a whole season.
Oh, absolutely. That athlete needs to get it going if they're allowed to.
Yeah. And if they make a determination in favor of the student letting him play, they can't change that during the season. That's what the bill says.
Yeah.
I mean, you get in there, you become a key player, and next thing you know, you're halfway through the season. Hey, you can't play anymore. What? So.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I think it's a good one.
I do too.
All right, here's another one. Senate Bill 253. It would have basically said the High School Athletic Association within the K-12 public school arena, it cannot tell a coach that they can't coach outside of the school sports season or non-school, like summer leagues or summer camps.
You know, that's
camps.
Huge as a coach myself, being able to go outside of my, you know, my normal team during off season and go coach elsewhere is huge, because that's extra income that I could be making. And I know some coaches that have not been allowed to do that, and it's hurt them. And they've all they wanted to do is, one, coach, and then, two, make a little extra money. And that's an income for them.
Yeah, it's absolutely an income. But it also, I mean, it enhances their own coaching skills.
Oh, absolutely. And it helps the athletes.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know why that would be controversial. Yeah. But, all right, here's another one. Senate Bill 251 would have said that local boards of education for public schools cannot restrict eligibility for a student or a coach because they participated in a non-school athletic program.
That's a thing?
It's apparently.
I guess so.
Why is that racy? I mean, how many times you played travel ball?
Oh, I don't know. I'm sorry, sir. You are young buck. You just got off the travel ball team, so you can't play.
Yeah. So you're ineligible for the school program where you could have earned a scholarship later because we found out you played travel ball.
Right.
Maybe we're oversimplifying it, but I don't know why that's controversial either.
Right.
Okay, here's the last one. K-12 public schools. It would require K-12 public schools to pay any fines or fees or penalties that would have been charged to a student if the student was found to be ineligible but was not told their ineligibility by the school. In other words, the school is kind of in charge of the student.
Mm-hmm.
If the kid gets assessed a penalty or a fine, the school has to pay for it. In other words, schools, take care of business, please.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I'm betting the teachers union got mad about that one, too.
I'm sure they did. You're like, what?
Oh, man. It's been a good show. The text lines got active. So Allie from Athens says, quit already with the home fries. You're making a slobber.
Making a slobber.
And that's not polite, she says. John from Huntsville says, Boomer, you guys need a Right Side Radio music CD, so I took it upon myself to come up with original song titles. And he's got a list of them there that...
That's hilarious.
Like Right Side Superheroes, Phil the Power Drill, McQueen the Electric Machine. I don't know what all's going on here. Boomer the Boomerang. All right, John, you got too much time on your hands, brother.
I like it.
Where was that one I saw? Kathy from Madison texted in. She had first texted in. She was mad about ESG, said it's important for Alabama to finally stand for something. And then I talked about Tuberville, and she came right back and go, okay, spoke too soon. Glad Tuberville's taking a stand. There you go.
Okay.
That's why we do home fries.
That's why.
That's exactly right. So you know what's happening. Tim from Mount Hebron is he says, woke is such a bad word. I prefer, I can't read his word out.
Nope.
Tim, I can't read your word, bro.
Hit the red button.
Yeah,
we can't do that.
We can't do that. By the way, the other day we did Ted Nugent.
Oh, I was ready to hit that red button.
Boomer had his hand over that red button, like floating over it, waiting. And he did not.
I think they can actually see it on the camera. They can see my red button. It's right here.
In fact, during Ted Nugent, your camera wasn't on you, probably, was it?
No.
Yeah, that would have been hilarious. See your hand.
See
sitting
my
over
hand
the
just being ready for it. I was just sitting right here,
waiting to dump about 8 seconds of airtime because. But he didn't.
No,
he did great. Yeah, if you want to hear that, by the way, you can go to rightsideradio.org or any podcasting, because we always put the show up afterwards, and so. I did see, by the way, Boomer, we are well over 142,000
now. Oh, yes. We're climbing up there.
And by the way, your Right Life podcast is taking off.
It's booming as well.
You got thousands attached to it now.
Yes.
I'm digging it.
It's awesome.
All right, folks. What a great day. We'll be back here tomorrow. I already know we got a great show late on. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Boomer and I will be here tomorrow at 2 for Fri-Yay. We'll see you then.